Hello and welcome to episode 20 of The Big Rewind, the podcast where we talk about new movies and then rewind our asses back to talk about old movies and shit like this. Can you believe it, Jamie? 20 episodes. That's like more than 19.
I really didn't think.
And less than 21.
That we'd get this far.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in the sense that, oh, this is really popular and loads of people listen to it. More in the sense that just the willpower.
You've got a beard now. That's how long it's been. Although you kind of have a beard every month.
Yeah. I go through phases of...
Faces.
Yeah. Faces. Yeah. And phases. And cages.
Do you know what this month is, Jamie?
It's Guy Fawkes.
What? Leave him alone. And his vendettas.
It's
Anime Month.
Oh, yes, of course. God. It's Anime Month.
Anime.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
Yes, Jamie is a big fan of anything that's animated in Japanese.
Yeah.
Basically.
I love
written down and drawn.
I love how original the Japanese are and how absurdly hypocritical they are about so many things.
They can't even make a whole film about cats, talking cats.
Yep.
And of course it's good.
And it's good and it's fun and everyone's having a good time. And I really think Hollywood needs to take a long look in the
Japanese
mirror.
Animation.
Well, no, just in the mirror and then just go, fuck, we put out the same shit every single year.
They're like, can't believe we made Cars 2. That's so embarrassing.
Can't believe we made Iron Man 3. What the fuck?
That's not a cartoon. Or
it animated. Is a cartoon in my mind.
It's true.
That fucking film was ridiculously stupid.
They made an Iron Man film with no Iron Man in it.
Yeah.
Barely
Sorry, it's my own personal gripe.
Yeah, sorry, we're getting sidetracked. But yeah, this month we're going to look at a lot of anime series and feature films. Even live action. We're going to include live action adaptations.
Yeah. Because I guess a bit like certain other genres, the crossover between manga to film and series...
They do
a lot of that. And in a sense, the industry in Japan is set up in such a way that it promotes that you do the manga first.
Yeah.
Usually as a more solo operation. And then it will be picked up and be made into a series. And then if it's a really good series,
it's a hit.
It will get a film.
Yeah.
Although sometimes you skip a step and you go straight from manga to film.
Well, or in the case of like a lot of Studio Ghibli ones, sometimes it's like based on novel or something.
Yes, that's true. But they are the exception.
Yeah.
They are truly the exception.
No, they do their own thing.
But the normal process is that. But then if you become a massive kind of director like Kashiro Otomo or Mamori Oshii, then you can start making your own stuff off your own, with your own money.
From
scratch. And you can, you don't have to do a manga or a novel, or anything to supplement the film.
You're wearing an anime themed t-shirt.
And I did Fist of the North Star.
Fist of the North Star. I didn't even ask you to wear that. You just put it on.
No, I have quite a lot of anime t-shirts, so.
Do you know what Fist of the North Star was called in France?
Oh no, go on.
When I used to watch it.
No, it's gonna be something stupid, isn't it?
Ken, le survivant.
What's that mean?
His name's Ken, so it's like the Survivor.
Ken the Survivor?
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
It could have been worse.
Yeah.
If they translated it literally, it would have been funny.
Whoa.
Le point de l'étoile du Nord? that's bad.
Do you not have a word for North Star that isn't literal North Star? What's Polaris in French?
Fuck knows.
Oh, okay.
What do I look like to you?
But just
an astronaut?
Just replace North Star with Polaris and it sounds a bit better.
Le point de... No, that sucks. It still sucks.
Le point de...
Polaris! Anyway.
Sorry for the creaky chair. I need some WD-40.
Yeah, stop it. It's actually farts. That's how Jamie farts.
What?
It comes out...
like a mechanical sound.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Sorry.
Can you imagine when Jamie has sex?
No, don't. Don't imagine
He's like, wee, wee. Oh wow, this bed's really weird. It's like, it's not the bed.
It's my hip.
It's my ass. So in this episode and the next two, I guess, because it's only this month, we'll talk a bit more about anime, but it's still the same structure.
Yeah, general format. Yeah.
Which means that we'll start, as usual, with the big news for this week.
Yeah, give it to me.
Give what? The news. No, don't do that. They gotta think it's porn month.
No, that comes much, much later.
No, that's next year. Next Christmas. Yeah. Porn month. Where I go insane and get arrested for posting porn online. Yeah. Can you get arrested? Yeah, probably. On YouTube. You just get taken down.
Yeah, you just get taken down.
Well, I just ruined my whole life's work.
All you have to... Seriously, all you have to upload is a nipple and you get pulled down from YouTube. It doesn't have to be a female nipple. You can get pulled down for posting male nipples.
Really?
Yeah, because they use like some kind of software to look for all the videos and stuff and to spot nipples. And of course,
nipple to the software, just
a nipple looks like a nipple. It doesn't matter if it's on a man or a woman.
I've never been offended by a nipple.
Yeah. No, neither have I.
Male, female.
No. Animal. I mean, one slapped me in the face once, but that's another story.
One I don't want to hear, actually. Let's start with the non-nipple news. Ender's Game, which is just out.
That is nipple news.
That's nipple news.
Because that kind of, the kid in it is still sucking on one. God damn it.
That wasn't bad, actually. He is pretty young. But the film might not be getting a sequel.
Yay!
You haven't seen it yet.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't care. I've seen the premise. I don't get
it. Well, I'm going to see it, you know, probably this week. So there.
No, we'll see it. I'm sure we'll see it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's kind of early to say. But like they've just said they're not sure if it'll be getting a sequel. Because it's had a decent start at the box office. But,
yeah, I saw it did. But have an all right start.
All right, but they were expecting more.
But it was huge budget, wasn't it? Again, like Lone Ranger. It's like, if it was a low budget film and it got that kind of money, great. It's done really well. But it was $270 million to make that film.
I know.
And it didn't make $270 million, I think. So it was a failure.
And also, I don't know why you're releasing Ender's Game at the same time as Thor. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a good idea.
No, because we had the choice, didn't we? When we went to the cinema, they were like half an hour apart, and we.
You were like, "Oh, we can always see Ender's Game." And I was like, "I want to see Thor more."
Yeah. It was a good pick, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll still see Ender's Game. Although we missed Machete Kills, I'm never gonna forgive myself for this.
I don't understand how we missed it because we went to the cinema at the time.
I'm away. No, one week.
No, one week. No, this is the thing. You weren't. You went away at that time.
Yeah.
No, you left...
A couple of days after.
Yeah, a couple of days after it had come out.
I'm away 1 week, I miss Machete Kills.
Yeah, no, my theory is...
You were there!
No, my theory is that it didn't get played at our local cinema. That's my theory, is that it didn't. But we'll find a way to watch it.
We'll find a way, and then we'll do a...
Like, because we've got some niche cinemas around us.
Yeah. That's like the only film we're looking forward to this year.
I know,
missed it.
So we apologise that we haven't really talked about Machete Kills. We should have done, really.
We have mentioned it a few times, but we haven't reviewed it.
Because we're very much excited by it. But yeah, again, with these kind of films...
We'll give it its own review on...
Yeah. It's a blockbuster, but at the same time, it's not treated like one.
No.
So, anyway. All right, well, let's move on with the news.
Yes. I don't know if you've seen the film Society. I did a top 10 of it once. Or top 20.
Yes.
It's messed up.
Yeah, they're really messed up,
It's like a satire on upper classes.
Yes.
It turns out...
reality.
Yeah. And behind closed doors, they're like merging into each other, their bodies.
Yeah, it's
messed up. It's funny. It's
really messed up.
It's a good film.
It fits for anime month.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy who did your favourite film, A Taxidermia, actually.
Yeah. It's not my favourite film.
You love it.
Don't watch Taxidermia, please.
Watch it.
No, don't.
It's got a chicken pecking someone's pecker.
Don't.
It's got giant cats.
Yeah, I know, but no, not in a good way.
No, in a good way. That's true. Any Gen Cat is a good way.
Taxidermy is an endurance test.
Yeah. Okay, if you thought society was messed up,
yeah.
Society's...
No, you can watch society, but taxidermy is a proper endurance test of the mind. Okay. So.
Well, they're thinking of doing a sequel to Society, which is comes 20 years later.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Which would be called...
Next you're going to tell me they're doing a sequel to The Room.
That'd be so good. I'd go see that at the cinema. No, they want to call it Society 2 Body Modification.
Oh, God, you know that's going to be so bad.
That's not a good title.
No.
But
that sets it up.
Kind of awesome at the same time.
No, don't say that.
Yeah, I hope they make it. Actually, remake.
This would be great if something like that was on Kickstarter. Yeah.
Probably.
No, oh, no. God. Help us make the weirdest film ever.
That's actually the type of thing I would actually
help like them give with. Yeah. Kickstarter.
Although I have no money.
Yeah.
But remake wise, they want to remake Pet Sematary.
I haven't seen
no?
Pet Sematary, sorry.
It's got, well, there's a scene in it where this cat dies, and then it's buried in the evil Pet Sematary, and it comes back to life, but it's an evil cat now.
Ah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that doesn't sound as interesting as you make it out to be.
It's not a good film, but I like it. And there's a sequel even that I've never seen.
Oh, okay.
Part 2. They're never making Part 3. But they think you're remaking it, so I don't know how I feel about that. Don't really care one way or another, because they've remade everything else, so...
Oh, God.
Whatever. Joe Cornish.
Yes.
Who you might know from The Adam and Joe Show.
Yes.
Well, that's where I know him from.
But yeah.
He also directed, I think, Attack the Block.
Oh, yes, yeah,
which
yeah.
I haven't seen. But...
Is it Attack of the Block?
No.
Attack the Block.
Yeah. Right. It's like aliens, isn't it?
Aliens in a fucking estate.
The fuck?
In London.
Oh, man.
All these kids running around trying to defend us.
I don't really regret not seeing that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I'm doing the wrong accent, by the way.
I know. That was weird.
Your blood. In it.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
That's better. I'm French.
Get the gut and go. God, it's Jesus.
Yeah, that sounds Scottish.
Sorry. I know. I fall
Scottish.
Into
Scottish.
Fall into different accents.
Yeah, you're terrible. Anyway, Joe Cornish might be offered the directing job of Star Trek 3. Which means...
Sorry,
that,
what?
Which means that JJ...
What?
Might
what?
Not direct the third film.
What the fuck is going on?
JJ's too busy.
Why is JJ not doing it?
It's not confirmed.
Okay.
But because he's so busy with his Star Wars film, he might just give up on the fucking Star Trek. Which will make you happy.
No, it doesn't make me happy.
No?
No. I just want the series... I just want it to die.
You're just like, I don't want anyone directing it.
I don't want another Star Trek film.
What? Are you surprised there's going to be a third Star Trek film?
No, I'm not surprised, but I don't want it.
Who do you think they'll...
I know what I want. If I want anything from Star Trek, I want another series.
A new bunch of series. Yeah.
I want another series, but I don't want it to be done like Enterprise. Because Enterprise killed it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They killed it. They did it in a stupid way.
That was not a good idea.
I think anyone who watches that... Like, it had alright moments. And obviously it had a good cast. But...
Not a good opening title sequence.
Yeah, what's with the fuck?
I don't know what that was, but it made me want
getting from here to there. It's such a long road.
It made me want to change channels instantly.
I know, it does, doesn't it? Where's the whole... Somewhere.
Space.
The final frontier.
Yeah.
They all do that. They all have, like, orchestral, you know, stuff and then voices. Like, Deep Space Nine doesn't have all the voices, but it has the...
It's a bit sleepy, the opening, but it's all right.
Yeah.
It's still...
And to be honest, I'd like another sort of Deep Space Nine type thing where it's more politically, you know, based on, you know, lots of species and...
I think they really
less
need
exploration type thing.
I think they really need to find something iconic, though, like a new, you know, decent Star Trek thing.
Yeah, but you could do it more modern-ish.
They will eventually.
To be honest, you could do it based like as a spin-off
in the style of the film.
Yeah, you could do a spin-off, but
true. Yeah.
No, you can't even do a spin-off.
Focusing on Data's grandfather.
No, because they blew up Vulcan. It's so stupid.
I know.
They blew up Vulcan!
That means he's going to have to repopulate the whole planet with Uhura.
What are you talking about?
Spock and Spock's father and old Spock.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Are all gonna have to stop fucking really quickly.
No, but the Romulans still exist.
Yeah, but who cares?
Well, they're just like the Vulcans.
Yeah, but they're...
genetically, I mean.
They're boring.
Anyway, enough. Yeah, sorry. Move on.
I was actually thinking, which villain are they gonna do again? Because they've redone Khan.
Oh, yes.
I would want them to redo Spock's brother.
I want them to redo the big Cyborg. Cylinder.
What?
The big cylinder.
Cylinder?
Yeah, who wants Wales back.
Oh, Jesus. The beacon.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
The massive cylinder with like an orb in front of it.
That's not a villain. I guess it is a villain. Worst villain ever.
No, it's not the worst villain. There are worse. Some of Batman's villains are fucking shite.
How dare you? Calendar Man is
yeah,
a genius.
Yeah, I know. Calendar Man sucks.
He's a genius. He's not going to kill you on Tuesday, but he might on Thursday.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. He's busy.
Because that's the day Lincoln was assassinated. I don't know. Someone's just making a shit up.
Joe Cornish, we were talking about. He's actually working on Ant-Man at the moment with Edgar Wright. So
Ant-Man. Yes.
Yes.
Nothing to do with Ants, the film, the Woody Allen film.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Except for the ants, which there'll probably be ants in that movie.
Oh, right.
There's going to be...
Yes.
Ah, we're moving into anime news now.
Yes.
All right. There's going to be a live-action adaptation of a manga.
Because they're so great.
Yeah, of a manga series called Ghost Hunt, which is also an anime. Do you know about it?
Ghost Hunt. No, that's not one I'm familiar with.
Well, they're going to do...
I apologize for not being familiar. Cause,
I think it's a recent one, though. It's like... Yeah.
It's difficult to be familiar with everything when it comes to... manga anime,
I thought you might
like
not
that.
Know that one because I didn't know it.
No,
but yeah, they're doing a live action. They're doing more and more of that actually, which is why the next news is so fucking weird.
What?
Next year?
Yes.
There's gonna be a live action.
Don't say it.
Version.
Don't say it.
What?
Oh no! Go on.
Of.
Go on.
Kiki's Delivery Service.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I thought you were going to say something like Evangelion.
No.
You know, or something
I wish.
Like a mecha, like a Gundam, like a live-action Gundam. And I was like, that doesn't work.
But closest we'll come to that is...
Kiki's Delivery Service?
There's Yuki Kaze.
Yeah.
But Kiki's Delivery Service, can you believe that shit?
What? Why?
It'll be directed by Takeshi Shimizu.
For those who don't know what Kiki's Delivery Service is...
well, you probably know. Come on.
It's a girl on a broomstick.
A witch with a black
No,
cat.
She's a trainee witch.
Oh, okay.
She's a trainee witch looking for a town, right? Because apparently towns have resident witches. Which, by the way, I love the premise and I love the film.
I really like the original
anime. Because it's cute. It's a really good kids film and stuff. It ends a bit abruptly. You know, but then again, I do like that it's not Hollywood-y in the sense that you know, you don't need the payoff of there's no montage in it, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Which is good. And
it's a coming of age story,
but you don't. Yeah, it is a coming of age story as a witch.
Yeah.
But you don't need a live-action version of
it.
Because you're going to destroy all the kind of fairy tale look of it by doing that.
The only thing they will do, probably, is do like a light-hearted version of Harry Potter or something. I don't know.
No.
And the cat's...
Because
not, the how are they going to make the cat talk? It's going to look weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they're doing that.
I don't know.
There's a teaser trailer that's out where you don't see anything.
Yeah.
It's literally just a point-of-view shot of... someone flying in the sky.
Oh, right.
And then it cuts to a picture of the fucking actress as Kiki.
Yeah.
So that's a really odd...
There's no... The thing is, I can understand wanting to do a live action of a series that, one, translates well into a drama setting, but also one that may have not worked very well as an anime series. You know, it did okay, but it didn't do amazingly. But... certain things just belong in that realm, and that's why Studio Ghibli, you know, all their stuff belongs in the realms that he animates.
Yeah,
and
I mean, the only
that's
thing,
fantastic.
The only probably exception was Arrietty, which didn't need to be an anime.
Yeah, that That's like one of my very tiny exceptions.
The Borrowers.
Yeah.
Which, there was a live action film already.
I didn't really like that film, to be honest.
But I didn't really like... I mean, The Borrowers, the movie is okay, I guess. Yeah. But it's not something I want to see again.
You're not talking about the Lee Evans. No, not Lee Evans.
I think John Goodman's in The Borrowers.
Oh, John Goodman.
I think. You're thinking more of Mousetrap or something.
Oh, I don't know. Don't
Mouse
worry.
Hunt.
Yeah, Tommy. Lee Evans. Stupid.
So, yeah. It's going to be directed by Takashi Shimizu, who's known for The Grudge, of all things.
Oh, okay.
Not the lightest of...
Yeah.
But he also worked on the sequels to The Grudge, which are all fucking terrible.
Oh, they? Yeah. I haven't seen. I like The Grudge. I've seen The Grudge, but not all the sequels.
Oh, The Grudge 2 is so bad.
Yeah.
Even the Japanese one.
Yeah.
Because he did the remake as well. So bad.
He sounds like the Japanese JJ there.
I know. Oh, he's even more of a sellout. Anyway, I still like The Grudge, but I don't know how he's going to do
something. As much of a sellout as Ang Lee.
Oh, leave Ang Lee alone. You'll make him angry. That joke will be done so many times.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it when I'm Ang Lee.
Yes.
Sorry, I stole that joke from Stuart Lee.
We're like 10 years late on that joke, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
There's a trailer out for the new Hayao Miyazaki film, which might end up being his last film if he is really retired.
Okay.
As he claims.
Yeah. Well, he's said that before.
He has, but it sounds more definite now. Although, well, it's called The Wind Rises. The Wind Rises! And there has been some controversy
around
it because of the politics in it.
Yeah.
And reading
from
the story,
both sides, for pro and against, like, it has been...
I can kind of see why, though. Because it follows a character... based on the real person, called Jiro Horikoshi.
Yes.
Who was the chief engineer of, like, Japanese fighter plane designs.
Yeah, the Zero, I think.
Zero Fighter in World War II.
Yes.
And it kind of, from the trailer...
Because it's glorifying sort of his position and what he did.
Yeah.
But we do exactly the same thing in this country with the Spitfire.
Of course.
You know, it's... And we call it, it's pride, because we fucking won and everything, and they were evil and we were good. And it was like, we dropped nuclear fucking bombs on their head. How is that? Get me started.
Yeah, I mean, both sides shouldn't really be all that moral. But
we've done films on fucking building of tanks and shit.
Yeah,
it's like, don't. Anyway,
it seems a bit of a weird topic for an animated kids film, though.
No, yeah, okay, the setting is weird, and I know it's not what's to be expected, but it's not like Ghibli hasn't done dark films,
stuff,
very dark films, you know? Tales of Earthsea is quite dark as well, you know? So, anyway.
But this one is more, like, real, I would say.
Yeah, okay, because it's slightly based on...
I mean, the good things about it is that it looks amazing, from what I saw, and...
I haven't seen it yet, and I need to. I'm a bit behind on that
one. No, the trailer looks good. It's just politics. Yeah. We'll see how it turns out, because we haven't seen the film yet.
No, but we'll see how it looks.
Yeah, I still look forward
to it. It's already been out in Japan, hasn't it?
I don't know, actually. Probably.
I think it has.
Yeah. Now, we got a couple of questions.
Yeah, go.
On Twitter.
Yeah, go.
One of them was a bit bitter.
Oh.
It was a bit bitter.
Go on. I love criticism.
Bitter.
I love a good ease up.
Yes. And it's from a guy,
who's
living up to his name, apparently.
Yeah.
You can find him at Tom_badguy.
Cool.
He's being the bad guy here.
Cool. No, that's good. It's good to play devil's advocate. It usually highlights a point better than being positive about it.
But he's a good guy. You know, he's opening the debate.
Good.
Thank you for your question, by the way. It's, why has anime gone downhill in the last 13 years? Nothing beats anime from the mid-70s to late 90s. Now, I do agree in one sense that I love anime from the 80s and 90s. I'm a big fan.
It depends.
I have seen recent things that I really liked.
It depends on perspective of anime. Mm-hmm. Because I agree and disagree at the same time with the statement, in that There have been some gems that have come out in the 2000s. But overall, there are less of the gems than there were. But the problem is I started watching anime in the 90s. And I have fond memories of a lot of the ones that I grew up with. But now looking at anime, looking with hindsight, yes, a lot of these other ones, they seem more individual and more innovative and somewhat better written in a lot of ways. There seems to be more freedom in the 80s, especially of anime. And I love some of the ones from anime, like one of my favorite sort of comedy based ones, I think, is it the Tokyo Tank Police or something like that? That's a translation, of course, so you know, it might not have been called that exactly.
And how old is that? Is that 90s?
No, I think it might be 80s or very early 90s. You know, there's all those ones, and they are, right in a sense, like...
Oh, I think it's called Dominion Tank Police?
That's it, Dominion Tank Police, sorry, which I love. What era was that?
Let me see. I don't know what happened to my voice. 90s.
90s.
Well, yeah, late 80s.
Right? Yeah. 80s, 90s. That's fine. And so I agree to a certain extent, but we can't discount some of the amazing series that have come out.
Mm.
You know, Death Note, for example, can't be forgotten how important that series was. The Ghost in the Shell series... is so different from the film that you can claim it as a sort of independent production. Mm. The studio that did that, I think it's Production IG, I think is the studio that did. They do some other good stuff as well, so check out their stuff. You know what, I kind of agree. We're getting a lot more anime now. And anime's extremely accessible now.
And then but we're also getting stuff like Yu-Gi-Oh, who is a big...
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're getting things like Yu-Gi-Oh. No, but we're also getting lots of repetition.
Oh yeah.
Within genres. So now the genres are very well defined, and that they know it's basically anime has become marketized in a sort of more capitalist way, in the sense that it now appeals to demographics. So you have shoujo and there's a female one. Shoujo is like targeted at teenage boys.
Well, wasn't the one we saw?
And then there's I can't remember the female
it's
word.
Nana.
Nana is sort of targeted. No, Nana is targeted at older women, sort of 20s ish women or late teens, girls. Shonen is teenage boy, I believe, or younger boy, and shoujo is younger girls. And they're demographics, basically. And things are designed now to sort of appeal very much to those kind of things. And we're not getting the originality of a lot of animes through. Every now and again, a gem comes through, but I must admit, they are far and few between nowadays.
But I mean, I think... Probably anime goes through phases as well, like movies, in the sense that
we're on a low with films as well at the moment, so it's like two lows at the same time. But then again, it's like if you're willing to do the work, you can find really good. Because one of the ones that, and I'll probably talk about this more later, because it probably relates to something else, but Attack on Titan is a fantastic anime that's out at the moment. And I really, really like that one. It's they're in their second season at the moment. And that's really, really good. And I still think that there are good comedy animes out there.
Oh, yeah.
I think comedy animes have kept up. But what's weird is anime, like a lot of criticism for anime in the 90s was, it's hypersexualized and there's so much violence. Yeah. And so, but actually now... There's less of that. There's a lot less of the hyper-violence and the hyper-sexualization of women and stuff like that. There is still misogyny. There's loads of misogyny.
You've always got Golden Boy.
Yeah, I know, but that's 90s as well.
Is it?
But 90s? But that's true. There's still misogyny of women, but it's not liberal in the sense of you know, showing, you know, tits.
Oh yeah, of course. Gore, it's not as gratuitous.
Yeah, that's it. It's not as gratuitous as it used to be, which is unusual. But it's the Japanese market. That's what anime caters for, is the Japanese market. The Japanese market has changed dramatically in the last 13 years.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a time when there was, like, way too many big robot anime series.
Yeah, absolutely. Gundam keeps churning this stuff out. And you know? Ever since the 70s, I think they've been churning out Gundams.
So I don't think it's anything new that, you know, not everything's going to appeal to everyone.
Yeah, but I agree on the kind of level of innovation.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
if you've got, like, what's the one where they go in, they create their own club in the school? Is that Haruhi something?
Oh, there's a few. There's loads of those now.
Harry Suzumi.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is that,
God, there's three different Harry Suzumis, which is like,
because there's so many.
The melancholy of Harry Suzumi, or Harry Chan, and then there's Harry's, oh god, I can't remember all the titles, but anyway, yeah, there's that, and that was an interesting blip as well, because that's quite, the writing of that is very good.
Yeah,
it's very confusing though. It is a very confusing anime,
but it's not as, you could see how
they deliberately released that anime in the wrong order.
Yeah,
like to the public. Oh. They deliberately released one of the series in the wrong order. And it was a very bizarre sort of...
But you can see that it's a bit... There's a lot of high school animes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. There's too much of that.
So
now,
they kind of blend into each other.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, there is too much. But then every now and again, you get like Arakara Under the Bridge.
Oh, yeah. That's
which
good.
I showed you, which is bonkers. It's fucking nuts. Insane stuff. Yeah. But I really like it. Serial Experiment Lane is another what the fuck's going on here? I must be on LSD kind of series, but it's beautiful at the same time. So there are exceptions, but I admit they are fewer now than there were. And I still have very fond memories as a child watching.
I mean, the nostalgia factor plays a lot as well. I mean, there's a lot.
Being introduced to it, like, I watched certain animes way too young.
Yeah.
Like, I watched 3x3 Eyes, which I think is a 90s anime, when I was, you know, when I was about 12. And, like, shouldn't have watched it then, you know, because it was... It's quite gory. That's the thing.
There's always new things like One Piece, which are about... Are they about space pirates?
No, they're not space.
But it's pirate-y.
They're superhuman mutated pirates, I guess, or something like that. I haven't really watched much of One Piece because I don't really like it.
I've seen a little bit, of episodes.
This is the thing, I've stopped watching Naruto, Bleach, One Piece, these kind of big, popular animes, because they're really repetitive.
What, Naruto? They're
just very... It's the power of nostalgia. Basically, every single fight seems to end with someone remembering something which gives them superpower, and then they finish the fight with their moral kind of story.
Saying someone's name quietly.
Oh, yeah. Anime loves to say people's names. Jamie. But that's also based on their language, because their language, they don't necessarily say I or you. They say the name.
Oh, okay.
So it would be Adam does this. Adam does that. Adam
I do
is
love
an
that,
arsehole.
Though. What? This took a dark turn. Because I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
But even I was laughing because I went to see the live action Rurouni Kenshin film. And they do that.
Yeah.
They were like, Kenshi.
Yeah, Kenshi. Anyway. Kenshi.
But I do love it because it's so anime.
I love it. To a certain extent.
Good times. But I mean, there's good things new.
And I'm like, but don't forget, anime still deals with issues the Western dramas and animation just doesn't deal with.
Yeah.
Like gender identification, like we still don't deal with that in a lot of dramas nowadays. And
talking cats.
Well, that's not really an issue. But the one thing that I get a little bit upset by in terms of anime is it doesn't. There's no anime that deals with Japanese politics directly.
Yeah.
And I really wish they'd bring out a series that was a bit like Babylon 5. you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be it, you know, because it's about politics as species, or Star Trek for that matter. And there's a lot of politics in Star Trek. Cool.
They should do another space opera that's not about big robots.
Yes.
Something like Captain Harlock, which I
Yes, briefly.
Where it's just something, I don't know, something a bit space opera.
I do like robots, though.
Oh,
I like robots.
Not always.
No, I don't like current day mecha. Yeah. I think it's a bit much.
I like when it's done a bit differently, like maybe Evangelion a little bit.
Yeah, a bit. I don't. Yeah,
Escaflowne as well. Is
yeah. Oh god, I've forgotten it now. But there's one that's like a lot like Evangelion. Oh god.
There's probably many.
Yeah, I know. Forget it. I can't remember.
Well, we got another.
Yeah.
Question from regular listeners.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, at Tomboy Tarts, you can find
Tomboy Tarts.
Yeah, we talked about them many times.
Oh yes, sorry. The name is always funny. I love it.
Yeah, it is.
Tomboy Tarts.
You can find them at Tomboy Tarts on Twitter.
Yep.
And their podcast is called Tomboy Tarad. They call it Tarad, but it's tirade.
Tomboy Tarts. That must be English, from England. Because is tomboy an English term? Not American, I mean. Tomboy, to behave more macho than is socially acceptable.
I may be wrong, but I think they're based in Singapore, actually.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay, that makes sense. But tarts, I wonder if they
mean... Tarts is a very English word.
Yeah, no, but I wonder if they mean tarts like we mean tarts.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a tart in the UK means kind of slutty.
Yeah.
Not like a slut.
And in France, where I come from, it's
a delicious pastry.
It's a delicious pastry.
Yeah. I think most of the world, it's a delicious pastry.
So if you ask for a Tomboy tart in France, they'll be confused.
Yeah.
They'll give you human flesh.
Yeah, I know.
In pastry.
Anyway,
yes. They asked us to recommend a couple of new anime series.
Okay.
Or all right. Films.
So, from this season, I already mentioned it, but Attack on Titan, which is actually the English translation. I'm not even going to attempt trying to say the Japanese word.
Let me see, maybe I can try.
Oh, yeah, no, you get it.
I always fuck it up. But...
Yeah, I know. But that's a recent one, and the premise of that one is it's a post-apocalyptic world whereby all of humanity...
Shingeki no Kyojin!
Yeah. Where all of humanity now exists within this one city, which is kind of a massive defensive city that has three massive walls, which they've personified into a religion.
It reminds me a bit of, what is it called? Nausicaa. A bit.
Nausicaa. Yes, yeah, Nausicaa, yeah, as well. Basically, the Titans, who are these kind of asexual giants, who only exclusively feed on humans, by the way.
They just eat Tomboy Tarts, find
a way into the city, and it's all about the defense of this city and about the origins of the Titans and stuff like that. And it's actually a sci-fi because it's like society's kind of gone back in terms of technology, but at the same time, it's supposed to be after civilization.
So it's like post-apocalyptic, but kind of retro. Not retro, but like...
They haven't explained...
It's gone back to medieval times.
Yeah, but they haven't explained in the series yet why it's all gone this way. Okay. So I think they're leading up to the big reveal, which will kind of explain why the Titans came about in the first place.
It was the birds!
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, okay, that's one from this sort of season of animes. From last season of animes, one to watch is Sword Art Online, which isn't an original concept, I'll admit. It's been done a couple of times before, whereby, it rips off The Matrix and animes before The Matrix as
is
well.
Is it anything close to Hacksign? No?
Yes, it is. It is very, very similar to Hacksign, except Hacksign is a mess of an anime and makes no sense and is really angsty, and this isn't so much. this is about a kid who plays games via something like the Oculus Rift, but it kind of taps directly into your brain.
Nice.
They go into this mass online multiplayer game, like World of Warcraft type thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they get trapped in this game. And and the creator of the game finds a way to trap them in the game and also tell them that if they die in the game, they die in real life.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Not an original concept, I know. But the way it's done is quite interesting. The way the concepts it sort of deals with, like the fact that you basically, it looks at the way that we play games now.
Yeah.
Because we play games knowing that death has no meaning. But then it tries to look at games in a way whereby death does have meaning. So you have real emotional engagement with a game.
Mm.
And I really like that. And
but for a gamer, especially.
Yeah, for a gamer like myself. Because one of the games that I adore and absolutely praise to no end, is Journey, the Sony exclusive game. Because if you haven't played it, you have to find a way to play it. Just find someone with a PlayStation 3. Tell them to download it and then play it.
I found my way.
You can get through it in 30 minutes or 2 hours, depending on your experience. But it's all about connection, emotional connection to the art style, to the game, and to one other person, which you can only communicate by one sound. You can only make one sound in the game. The only way you communicate with this person is by tapping one button and it makes a noise, or by your actions within the game.
What, is it a character in the game, or is it someone
online? It's someone else. It's someone else online.
Oh, cool.
I know you haven't played this game yet, and I will make you play it.
Yeah, I will make you play it,
but because I've made three people play it now.
Oh, okay.
And it's so important because it's so engaging. Like you care about this person. You end up literally feel like you have a connection with this person. And the thing is that you don't know who they are, but yet you feel like you're friends. You feel like friends by the end of it. But because it destroys all the kind of context of that person.
Yeah.
By destroying the context of a person and destroying your prejudice of a person, you get to the core of why you care about this other person or thing in the.
Well, sounds anyway, epic.
Sorry, that's the game, and kind of Sword Art Online touches on this to a certain extent, not completely, but you know, it tries to show you if there were real consequences to a game, how engaging would it be and what would be the consequences of it. Now they know it's a game, so that's where it's a little bit different, of course. So they do, so the main character finds a way to sort of play it as a game and be good at it as a game rather than as a, you know, human being. He finds a way to be good at it, and he's dealing with the fact that it has real life consequences.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's a bit of this, bit of that, and I won't go into too much more because I really want people to watch.
Don't spoil it.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything because, you know, it has some really good story development within it.
All right, cool.
So those are my two to sort of catch at the moment.
Yeah.
There are some others, but I'd say those are the two most prominent of this season and last season.
All right. We have to move on,
unfortunately. Yeah, of course. But oh, God, we spent loads of time on that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Thank you for your emails.
Yeah, always.
Now, it's time, as always, for the big review.
This week. Blah, blah, blah.
After all this time, now you come to visit me, brother. Why? To mock. I need your help. But I wish I could trust you.
The big review, which is Thor, the Dark World.
Is it Thor, the Dark World, as one line? Thor, the Dark World.
I think
or is it Thor, pause, the Dark World?
I think it's Thor, the Dark World.
Yeah, yeah, okay, alright, whatever.
Yeah. It's not like Star Trek
Into Darkness. Yeah, Star Trek Into Darkness. I mean, no. Star Trek Into Darkness.
Star Trek Into Darkness, yes. No. It's not like that at all. But it is the sequel to Thor.
Yes, which I enjoyed.
I
enjoyed the first one, I mean.
Oh, the first one.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one.
Although
I liked its campy nature.
Yeah.
I liked, the characters and Avalon. you know, so...
Avalon?
Not Avalon, sorry.
Asgard.
Asgard, sorry.
Jesus.
No, there's another place in it, isn't there, called Avalon?
Is there?
I think, oh, I can't remember, no. Anyway.
Avalon's a, isn't that an anime in itself?
Yeah, I think it probably is, I'm just, my brain...
I don't know, that's a movie that was animated-ish. Anyway.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
A really boring movie.
So, yeah, so but I love Asgard. The look Asgard and the feel great, yeah. And the kind of, you know, the appeal.
But this one takes place after the Avengers.
Yeah, sort of 2 years after Avengers.
Yeah, 2 years after.
Which and, is a really easy to miss point, by the way, because it's only mentioned once and very, very quickly.
But that's what I like, though. I like that it's not another Avengers movie. That it's something...
Yeah, but what happened in those 2 years? Just Iron Man 3?
What do you mean? Well, what? Yeah. But also, what's his name? Thor was battling fucking planets.
I know! But I wanted to see more of that!
I know, I know.
You know?
They could have made it.
You could have made a film out of that bit!
They could have made it a war movie.
Yeah.
But no, we see what happens because after. That's
a, do you know what would have been quite interesting? Is a Thor film that doesn't involve Earth.
At like, all.
Yeah, at all. Just it completely takes place somewhere else.
I would have been happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. Because I would have been happy with that.
The stuff on Earth in this movie is not very good.
That's the thing, isn't it? They shoehorn Earth in.
Yeah.
Like, Earth doesn't really need to be a part of the film at all. You know?
You've got Jane Foster, played by Natalie Portman, and...
Who is the least convincing scientist to ever be.
I don't like her at all. I don't like her in the first movie.
I like Natalie Portman.
Yeah, no, she's hot. She's, well...
Sorry.
She's fine as an actress. She's,
yeah.
I don't think she's very good in those movies.
No, unfortunately.
I don't find her convincing at all.
No. She needs something more extreme.
Even Kat Dennings, who plays Darcy, she's more convincing. She's a bit annoying because they give her...
Yeah, she is annoying.
They give her too many one-liners.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone gets too many one-liners.
But at least she's slightly more, I don't know, interesting... of a character. She fits.
That's it.
She fits the campy nature of Thor.
She's comic relief, I guess. Yeah. But the problem is that Natalie Portman, sometimes she is comic relief.
And a little bit.
She really shouldn't be, because it's like, you're the main female character, like, and you're a scientist. Can you take things a little bit more seriously?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's a bit annoying in those movies.
For me, what they didn't do with her character, which I wish they did, I wish they turned her into, like, Geordie LaForge. That's what I kind of wanted from my scientist in a camp film. In a camp film, I want it, you know, to say, the dilithium crystals are out of alignment and the plasma injectors are not working.
Not everyone can be Picard.
No, not Picard. LaForge.
I know, but you sounded like Picard.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of wanted lines from Star Trek to be in the film. Because then it just gives it that kind of entertaining nature of sci-fi.
Near the end, they've got the answer to everything, which is like four big sticks.
Yeah, but they didn't say anything about them. Like, why? Yeah. What are these sticks for? Apparently, they transport shit around.
I don't know what the actor's called. Stellan Skarsgård? I think he plays the older dude.
Who's
always naked for some reason.
Yeah, he's going to be naked again in Nymphomania.
Yeah, looking forward to that. There's a new trailer for that, which is just people fucking.
Yeah.
It's literally all that happens.
I don't know. Lars von Trier does that kind of stuff, I kind of go, it's people fucking. Yeah. Just, you can watch some porn. It's not that avant-garde or that shocking, to be honest.
No, not really.
You know, I know he's trying to be shocking.
Yeah.
It's obvious with the posters of William Dafoe jacking off. It's like...
I don't know. When he does stuff like that, it's just kind of funny. Like, I find it funny.
It's seedy. I see it as being seedy. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Back to Thor. The story this time is... it's such a fucking template by this point. Guess what? There's a doomsday machine that can be used for evil. And there's a bad guy that wants it.
That doesn't bother me.
That really doesn't bother me.
You know why it doesn't bother me?
Because that was the plot of Thor.
You know why it doesn't bother me? Is because all superhero films are like that.
But
so I don't really care if this one's going to be like it as well.
But it makes the villain really uninteresting.
I know what you mean, but I thought they made him uninteresting by making him an elf.
A dark elf.
A dark... Like, It's just stupid. It, like, as a name. As a name, that's stupid
it
as well.
It starts like fucking The Hobbit,
the dark
doesn't it?
Elves.
A long time ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, God. The I don't know. No, actually, I really liked that sequence, by the way. I really liked that sequence because it was... It was Flash Gordon. I mean, it literally was a Flash Gordon fight scene.
Oh, man.
And I enjoyed that bit of, like, the grenades that implode. And,
yeah, the, you know, black hole grenades.
The guys who have a rock that turn them into some big beast.
Yeah.
And I really liked that bit. I thought the effects were cool. And
I mean, there's stuff about this movie that I think is better than the first Thor.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And there's stuff that's way worse.
Yeah.
So it kind of evens out.
But that's the thing. Pretty much everything that takes place on Earth sucks.
It sucks.
But everything that takes place in Asgard is fucking cool. Or the Nine Realms.
Although, like, the end battle scene on Earth is not bad. It's entertaining, at least.
Ish.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a comedy romp,
yeah,
really.
It's a bit silly.
Oh, we're here. Now we're over here. Now we're over here.
It turns into Portal for some
reason. Yeah, it does. It turns into... Someone played Portal. Yeah,
I know. I think it's a good idea to have, like... It was a good way for him to lose his hammer temporarily.
Oh, that is a bit funny. Like, but the hammer's like, oh, you're over here. Oh, no, you're over here. Yeah. Oh, you're over here now. Oh, I'll fly over here.
I'm surprised that the hammer didn't just crash into someone's face on the way back.
Yeah, I know. That's what...
He was really lucky that he didn't just destroy a whole building. Yeah.
It seems like the hammer actually has its own personality.
Yeah.
You know, because...
He's going to start talking like
it
Jarvis.
It likes to destroy certain things, but not other things, so it will miss... buildings but not fences, kind of thing. Anyway,
but I mean, the action in this movie is really good.
It's okay. The pacing's all off though.
Yes,
the film.
It
goes from like high octane bang war to fucking nothing. Right, nothing happening.
That's true.
and then back to bang war. No explanation. Yeah. And then nothing again. Well, it's weird pacing.
It's a weirdly paced film.
Yeah.
But at least things happen. Like
things do happen.
In the first film, it's just like he comes to Earth, hangs out.
Yeah.
Something happens at the end. The end. You know. At least here, it's just like there's problems. Like Asgard's getting all fucked up.
Yeah.
There's like a shield going up. You've got Idris Elba running at the top of
bridge. I want more of Idris Elba. Okay.
That was epic.
That was a fucking cool little scene that he had where he took on that shit.
I know.
By himself.
It just runs up the bridge.
Yeah, because you don't expect, oh yeah, this one guy's just going to go up there with a couple of blades and fucking destroy an entire massive ship.
Yeah, you just expect him to just look up and be like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he was going to do some kind of warning system.
But he turned into Legolas. So
he did. That's it. He turns into Legolas. And fucks that shit up.
He was cool. You see him without the helmet as well.
And he
looks like a normal dude.
In terms of art style, I love the whole thing. Except for one thing.
Yes.
The Dark Elves. I don't like the Dark Elves look. Their masks.
Yeah.
And they look silly. They look like Halloween costumes, you know?
Do you know that the main villain, who's Malachi or whatever.
Malachi.
He's played by Christopher Eccleston, who was.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize that.
I realized that later. I was just like, really? You can't tell it's him.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And you just know they cast him because of all the Doctor Who fans.
Yeah.
But then
That's weird. They
don't give him a personality.
No, unfortunately.
Like, they burn his face halfway through and then he's just like, ow.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
They do a bit of a kind of...
End of character development.
That's Star Wars, isn't it? Star Wars episode.
Yeah. There's a few Star Wars moments where they cut the arm off. It's like, ah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but it's all fake.
It's fakey.
Loki's good. I still like Loki. I
have to admit, I wasn't looking forward to Loki again.
I know. I agree with you in that they keep reusing Loki.
Yeah.
But I like Loki, the guy who plays Loki. I can't remember his
name. Tom Hiddleston,
Yeah, I like him. And I like the fact that they kept him sort of... They kept him within the realms of what we imagine Loki to be.
Mm.
You know, he's deceptive, he's funny.
I mean, that's the thing.
He's devious and cunning and, you know, and crafty. And I liked that they kept that up. They didn't just have him as a generic bad guy. That's what
True.
I kind of...
Yeah.
I know they did in Avengers, they made him a
generic.
Exactly. I mean, in this film,
yeah,
they made him into a bit more of a side bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, I like I liked him in the first Thor.
Yeah.
I didn't like him in the Avengers.
I didn't like him in the Avengers.
He was a weak main villain.
He was comic relief for most of it.
Yeah.
Because
it wasn't very threatening at all.
When Hulk meets him, he's just like, bang, bang. And it's just like... Yeah,
that was for a joke, but it's kind of it kind of like undermines the character.
I know, it totally undermines the character and totally undermines any kind of danger or fear.
Here, they brought him, but I really like him in this movie.
Yeah, I do.
He's got one too many jokes.
A little bit, when he becomes Captain America.
Oh, cameo.
Yeah, there's a cameo of a Captain America.
That's a funny cameo.
What's his name?
Chris Evans.
And that's a funny moment because they literally take the piss appropriately out of Captain America and his patriotism. Yeah. So, and I like that.
He's got some good jokes in there. Yeah. And also, they do develop his character a little bit, which I was quite happy with.
Yes, yeah, about his relationship with his mother.
Spoilers. We have to spoil it.
Oh, we've been spoiling it already.
Yeah.
But we always do.
René Russo, who plays Thor's mother.
Yes.
Dies.
Yes.
She dies, but not after being
badass.
In
a fucking cool way.
I was really happy they made her really badass.
Yeah, exactly. Not just damsel in distress. I really liked that. Yeah.
A cool, intelligent female character that can fight and isn't young. Yeah.
I want to get onto my main...
More of that, please.
Yeah, I want to get onto my main sort of issue with this film. Because the whole film, unfortunately, when you balance it all up, is a meh type of film.
Unfortunately,
Because there's too much of the Earth side of slightly serious, but also very weak comedy side of it. And not enough of the camp costumes, flying lasers... Big ships, weird things, and weird technology.
I just want to live in Asgard.
Exactly. The thing is, because...
And then you go to Greenwich.
Because people still like things like Flash Gordon. I know we bring it back to that, because Flash Gordon really is the archetype of this type of a film. And we love the kind of, his little sidekicks. I like his little sidekicks, because they
all... The Warriors 3.
Yeah. No, there's 4, aren't there?
No.
Oh, whatever.
There's the Robin Hood guy. There's the Japanese guy.
Girl.
Oh, no, there's the girl as well.
Yeah. So, anyway.
And bearded guy.
Yeah, and bearded guy.
Okay. Warriors 4.
Yeah. So, I like these guys because they, they're really ultra campy and they have only, like, one emotion. But but they're fun. Lots of fun. And I like kind of Thor's character as well. How he's a bit, he's a proper Viking in a way, because it's like rape and pillage and, well, not rape, but a bit
Thor, the really dark one.
No. But they kind of have a self-defined morality of justice and stuff like that.
I do like
that. And I really like Anthony Hopkins and how he's just Anthony overbearing and kind of gold.
I love Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So I love all that kind of over-the-top weird stuff. Yeah. And I don't like so much the kind of earthbound euphemisms, really.
It's going to start suffering from the Transformers curse, which is you start hating the humans.
Yes! And you want more of the kind of over-the-top,
you just want
robotic stuff, except, actually visible.
Unfortunately, because they're always trying to do something with Avengers. I mean, if they want to do something on Earth, forget Jane Foster. Just have Thor meet another potential Avenger.
And
they have a side quest.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or have it set on Asgard and another planet that's interesting, not like the Frost Giant planet.
As we said, the whole 2 years between Avengers and Thor could have been a film. And I probably would have been interested in that film because it would have been all about bringing peace to the Nine Realms. And it's you could have introduced all the Nine Realms and stuff. But that would have been quite cool.
It's a shame because this film had a lot of potential.
It
had some really good
all the elements to be a really cool thing.
It even made me like Loki again, which is not easy. But the ending. Okay, let's talk about some stuff.
All right, okay.
There's a cop out.
Yeah, there's massive cop out.
Yeah. You think Loki's done for.
Yes.
And it's kind of a moving scene. When he dies.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Because, I mean, not as moving as when, his mother dies, but...
Yeah, that's more moving.
Still, it's kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And it's redemption. There's a redemption scene, and you know, I like redemption scenes.
Yeah, I thought that was quite good. But then they kind of ruin it.
Yeah.
Because they want Loki back, because all the fangirls want Loki back.
He
comes back and he's replaced Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, though we don't know what's happened to Anthony Hopkins.
Exactly. Such an obvious, like, you see it coming 10 minutes before.
Yeah, you do. They make it too obvious.
It's too obvious. It's not very well done. Yeah. And
why do we need to? That's the other thing. Why do we need Loki back? It's a setup for something else. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't like films that are basically shoehorning in plot points in order to set up more things. You know, because...
I don't know what they've set up.
Or they've done it in the sense to make sure that if someone else takes it on, that they've got all the elements there to make another one.
Mm.
And I don't necessarily like films that... especially if they're in a series format. In the sense like, everything's back to normal.
Yeah.
So we can do whatever we want with the next one. Yeah, exactly.
And honestly, it looks like they
actually have some development.
Yeah. It looks like they don't want to introduce a new villain. And it's just it's
not like you haven't got some to do.
Even Captain America, it gave up on Red Skull pretty quickly. Yeah. And now it's the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
A cool villain. Iron Man did that as well. Although fucked it up in the third one. But, you know, Mickey Rourke was good.
Spider-Man to a certain extent.
Yeah. Yeah. But Spider-Man and Batman have so many villains to choose from.
Yeah.
Thor, it looks like they're, you know, they don't want to introduce someone
new. I'd like Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer.
Surfer?
Yes. Surfer.
You've been served.
Silver Surfer to turn up in Thor.
That would be cool.
It'd fit.
Or the Fantastic Four. But, okay.
No. It's been done. Yeah. I don't want it.
It's next year. I think they're redoing
it. Yeah, I know.
But forget the Fantastic Four. But Silver Surfer would be cool.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Have a side quest with
exactly
a cool character we haven't seen yet done
or
properly.
Or as much. Yeah.
Okay. But, so there's that at the end.
And then there's an end.
Oh, it's so good.
You go for it.
We see some of the side characters, like the warriors.
Yeah.
They bring some weird square that has evil in it.
It has the ether in it, which is the doomsday device.
Is basically the fucking, what was it called? Tesseract. It's the same fucking thing. It's a cube with something in it.
Yeah. The Tesseract is a...
Enough with the fucking MacGuffins. It's like, there's a cube with evil cube.
Yeah.
And they give it to Benicio del Toro.
Yeah. Who's the collector.
Who's the collector?
Who might be... But he might be a bad guy in the next film.
Yeah.
The setup.
Guardians of the Galaxy. That's what they're setting up. And he's got some like green lipstick.
What the fuck was he doing?
Bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
And he's doing a weird voice.
No, I love it. I love his performance. I love what he did. Because again, it fits with the nature of that film.
I know. Okay? I think
I wanted more of that. I wanted more of the kind of fun over the top.
It was so funny.
Silliness. Yeah.
I wasn't excited about Guardians of the Galaxy, but now I'm like, if it's going to be as camp as this.
Yeah. Bring it on. We want it. So good. Yeah.
And you could tell the actor who plays like the bearded warrior was just looking at Del Toro going like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's just like, okay, just take the cube. I'm good.
His bow with all the weird kind of hand movements at the beginning.
And there's like weird shit and tubes all around.
Yeah, all around. Do you know what it's like? An art style-y kind of. Yeah. It was a bit like Blade Runner.
They
walk into
it's like a cross between Blade Runner and Hellboy or something.
Yeah,
but you could tell at the end he was this close to going one down, five to go.
Exactly. A bit Austin Powers-y. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. But Thor, would you recommend The Dark World?
I don't know. For people who want to watch superhero films, yes, because this year we've had two.
We've had
two superhero films this year.
If you can call the Wolverine a superhero film.
We've had three superhero films. Wolverine was terrible.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 was terrible. Mm. And I have to say, even though they've all been not great, but Thor was the best of the bunch for this year.
Yeah.
So if you're going to see a superhero film this year to satisfy your action...
This is least disappointing?
Yes. No, it's still a meh film. Like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, but it had too much because it, as I said, it balances out to a all right film.
Yeah, because there's some preppy stuff. There's some really good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of consistency. Yeah. But
do you know what? I think with some decent editing, that film could have been better.
True.
Yeah. You know, a lot.
If you shortened the first half hour, which was a bit painful.
Yeah, and just kind of almost cut Natalie Portman out entirely.
Yeah. As soon as
and it's not her fault. I'm not blaming her.
No.
I'm blaming the writing. Yeah. I am blaming the writing of her character.
Is just
because she is a decent actress. Yeah. I'm sure she can do good parts. Oh yeah. She's proven that already. Anyway.
But I do recommend it as well, just because it's the best we're going to get probably for this year.
Yes, it probably is the best we're getting this year.
But if you're expecting something much better than Thor,
it's
not quite.
Yeah.
No.
And if you haven't... By the way, you don't have to see the first one to see this one.
No, you don't.
But do see the first one, because it's better.
Well, it's about as good.
I like it.
I like the first one, yeah.
Maybe introductions tend to get a little bit more gravitas because they're showing things for the first
time. There's a lot of in-jokes, though, that you won't get if you haven't seen the first film.
Yeah, but I don't think it takes too much away from it.
Not too much, but there's a couple of jokes in there that are quite funny if you've seen the first one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's Thor the Dark World. And now let's move on swiftly to the big recall.
Yeah.
So the big recall is when we talk about some more retro films, usually.
Yep.
As it's anime month, we're going to do an anime-themed big recall.
Which means
that we'll both talk about an... calm down.
Sorry.
We'll both talk about an anime series or film.
I'm going for film.
From pre-2000s.
Yeah. It's a weird definition. I know retro, it's difficult to define it, but we kind of set the bar at pre-2000.
Yeah. Didn't
we say 2000 counts? Like, the year 2000 counts?
If we're really... Yeah, if there's something we really want to talk about, we can stretch it to 2000.
But that's it.
That's it, yeah.
2001, like, no, fuck off.
No, exactly.
I don't mean the film. The film, 2001. Anyway.
We're sidetracked there.
Yeah, I know, because it's like... go.
Should I start?
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to talk about City Hunter! The series, the anime series.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's a lot of incarnation of City Hunter. There's the manga, obviously.
Yes.
There's the anime series.
As we said before, you know, most anime has many incarnations.
Yeah.
They can be very different from each other. Ghost in the Shell is a good example, whereby the manga is so different from the film.
Yeah.
I think there's more comedy, basically. More comedy in the manga.
And sometimes...
And more sex. There's more sex in the manga as well.
And sometimes things go completely different. Like, I think it was Helsing, where, like, the ending is completely different. It's there's a big battle, and it's like, wait, that's not the same.
Watchmen.
Watchmen?
Has a different ending in the film.
Not anime.
No, I know, but, like, I'm just saying, it's
animated.
Animated, sorry.
It's not.
No, I wish it was. Yeah. It kind of looks like it is.
It's coming.
It's Zack Snyder. I mean, Zack Snyder, every film he does looks like it's animated. It's basically an animated film,
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go on, carry on.
No, and there's also a live-action series as well.
Yes.
Based on the manga, not the cartoon.
With?
No.
Oh, no.
No, because then there's a live-action movie.
Oh, there's a live-action movie and a live-action series.
Yeah, I think the live-action series is really recent.
Oh.
The movie was 90s.
Oh, right.
With Jackie Chan, which I will
being
be...
dubbed in really bad English.
Oh, yeah. No, you have to watch it in original.
I said this before, but doesn't... Jackie Chan always looks like he's... on fast motion.
Yeah,
he hasn't got enough frames in a video or something.
He's just fast.
Yeah, he moves. It's so weird, like kind of artificially.
Yeah,
a lot of the time. But anyway,
I mean, if you...
not that I don't like him, I love Jackie Chan. He's fantastic.
I mean, that's the thing in City Hunter the movie. He's really good.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but he's not really that character.
Yeah, I know.
He's just being
the
Jackie
dub
Chan.
Doesn't help. No. The dub is so bad.
Although it's good to see Jackie Chan being a bit pervy. That's always
But he can be funny.
If you grew up watching the animated series like we did, he's not at all how you picture the character.
Yeah.
Tall, strong,
yeah,
kind of Western look to him. even though he's called Ryo Saber.
Yeah.
But basically, he's kind of like a hitman for hire.
Yes.
Where all these beautiful girls always have problems. So they need to hire a handsome guy to help them.
It's kind of that noir...
Yeah,
you know, type thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So they hire a private detective. And he takes out the bad guys and everything.
Yeah. Ends it's well. Just a slightly more perverted version of
exactly.
those types of things.
Because it's got a very film noir, quite serious tone.
Yeah.
And then occasionally it just goes into full blown comedy.
Yeah.
Where it just,
I like that.
He looks up a girl's skirt and goes insane.
Yeah.
And this girl with short hair hits him with a big hammer.
What era is
a
this?
A mallet.
What era is this?
I think it's 80s, late 80s, 87, I think the series are. The manga was before.
Yeah, because, like, each sort of country or Western versus Eastern or something, they have their own versions of what slapstick is.
Oh,
and of course, they have their own versions of comedy. And slapstick in Japan is very much sort of light, softcore porn, basically. And whereas slapstick in, like, say the UK or America would be double entendres, you know, and still kind of, you know, petting, definitely, but never anything too serious when it comes to slapstick, anyway. But I love the fact that the anime combines serious topics with comedy. I love that. I love the fact that they deal with certain things in that way, because it doesn't necessarily detract from the seriousness.
I mean,
it sometimes looks at the ridiculous nature of some of our serious subjects.
Although sometimes it can be a bit annoying when you've got a show that's really cartoonish, really stupid, and then they try to have something serious happen. And it's just like...
Oh, the switch. Yeah, the switch in anime sometimes
I don't like that
is...
Sometimes it's just...
Sometimes it's designed to shock.
Okay, fine.
But other times it's done in very poor taste, unfortunately.
I mean, I don't mind if, like, a comedy show, like, for example, Nishiju.
Yeah.
Which is really good. It's very over the top, very cartoonish. Mm. And then about halfway through, they kind of start... building a story
with
some characters, and it's got a lot of heart by the end.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
That's character development. That's good.
Yeah.
But if suddenly one character just committed suicide,
so
it's just like, no!
Two series that this happens in.
I think you told me one of them.
School Days. School Days ends, the series ends. It's not a very good series, to be honest.
Are you spoilering it?
I'm going to ruin it, but I don't care because it's not that good. School Days, the animated series, ends with like a psychopathic serial murdering spree based on the love of some boy by a girl, and this girl kills loads of people.
Doesn't it end with a fucked up decapitation or something?
Yeah, it ends up with it's really, really fucked up. I'm not going to go into the details because it is very, very disturbing. I don't want to disturb the audience now.
Sounds awesome.
So, and then there's Shuffle, which is like a weird cutesy harem-based anime that turns into about this psychopathic girl.
Mm.
So, yeah. Okay. So it's kind of unusual. Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, anime does psychopaths. Fucking brilliant. I'm not kidding. Like, anime, when you want to watch psychopaths, go for anime, because they know how to do, not just psychopaths, but sociopaths as well. Like Death Note.
Yeah.
Death Note is sociopath. He's a sociopath, definitely. Yeah. Or Light is. But anyway.
But I think the reason why City Hunter works so well is because it does both things really well. Like, the comedy is really funny.
Yeah.
And the darker stuff is really stylish.
Good,
involved.
I think you can combine it, and animation gives you the ability to do that as well, because they change the art style for comedy, so you kind of know by making their eyes even bigger and sort of more monotoned colors. And
they've got in City Hunter another thing I like is they do have a tomboy in there.
Yeah,
they've got a girl with short hair, quite strong character.
Yeah,
who knocks the shit out of. You say, but whenever he gets out of line with one of his clients. So there's like a weird love triangle going on in every case.
Gender identity in anime is a really bizarre subject that we'll probably tackle another time, because they actually have a genre called gender bender.
Really?
Yeah, well, like Ranma, where it's about the boy who can become a girl, who can become a girl or a boy, depending on circumstances.
On water.
Yeah, depending on the temperature of water.
And then it goes off track, and it's just like, a guy becomes a pig.
Yeah, okay.
There's a panda.
There's a panda, yeah. So, yeah, no, that's just bizarre. But they do a lot of gender identification stuff in their animes, especially the whole boy who looks a lot like a girl.
Yeah.
And they do this weird thing from time to time where if you've got the main male character sometimes finds himself fancying the boy who kind of looks a bit like a girl, but then kind of punishes himself for doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of... interesting. I find it interesting.
It is interesting, yeah. Even Nishiju was a bit weird about that, actually.
One
of the characters, Yuko, I think it is, kind of has a crush on the quiet character, Mai.
Yeah.
The one with glasses.
Yes.
And then they kind of give up on that.
Yeah.
About halfway through. Yeah. And then later on, there's like a line about... a girl, there's a misunderstanding where the girl thinks another girl's interested in her.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and then
funny
she's one, like, oh, I don't think it's right. It's normal for two girls to date.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the other one's like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's not what I was talking about.
Yeah. But, they do a lot of that, which is, it's refreshing, but it does have its own line of misogyny.
It does, yeah.
And that comes into, because there's a whole world of anime which is just misogyny. It literally is just where all the girls fancy one guy.
Oh, of course.
And literally the entire series is about which girl the guy will pick.
You're thinking of Nagasarete I Run To, aren't you?
Typical male. No, but there are more recent ones as well. There's Amagami, which is more recent version. Because there's this whole world there's a condition whereby certain Japanese men prefer 2D women over 3D.
Really?
Yeah, it's sort of a condition that happens.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to go into
That's for another podcast altogether.
Yeah, I know. But because of these kind of dating sim type games and animes and stuff like that, where these women are just unrealistic, completely unrealistic proportions, completely unrealistic aspirations, completely unrealistic behavior and personalities and hyper everything when it comes to women. But saying that, there are opposites.
True.
They do have the opposites as well, so it's not to say that they aren't necessarily fair about it in production, because they do produce the female harem where it's loads of guys pursuing one girl and all the guys are effeminate and thin and also to the tastes of modern Japanese women. So
Also sometimes homosexuality is portrayed as a joke.
Sometimes.
Like it's a recurring joke.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've got a homosexual character.
But it's also sometimes portrayed as a female fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that these two guys fancy each other, which again is refreshing to think that, because a lot of the time, porn in the West is considered a male domain.
Yeah,
whereas Japan sometimes likes to even the field, not as often as the male portrayal of it is.
Although that topless shot of Thor in the Dark World, woo! I'm getting hot just thinking about it.
Abs. It's just like pecs and abs.
Yeah.
Did anyone order pecs?
They had the same shot. They had two shots in the first film.
Yeah, so they did that in the first film.
I was very disappointed. Only one shot. Come on.
Which is fair enough. I don't. You know, you want to show off that great body? Show it off. I don't care. You could hear, I think in the cinema, because we went opening weekend, in the cinema, I think you could hear a few women go, ooh.
I heard a whimper behind me. Just like,
which is fine, I don't care. It's like, why not? If you want to show it off and, you know, just have the equivalent, that's all.
It's silly, but if you want to do it, it's fine.
No, I don't mind.
I mean, it's silly either way.
Yeah, it's silly. No, it's a silly film.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the thing. I think people had a problem with Star Trek when she was just in no uniform.
Yeah.
Because it was unnecessary. And it's not a massively silly scene or a silly film in what it's trying to achieve.
I think that was just that was fine. It was just clumsily done.
That's it. Yeah, that's the better way to put it. The scene just was clumsily clunky. Done. Whereas Thor, they kind of build it. They build. Yeah. They mention it a few times. Like his nature is he's big and he's strong and he's muscular and he's extremely camp as well. You know,
He wears capes.
Yeah, exactly. And he wears like tight, showing off muscle suits, and that's fine.
Because you remember, like in the first film, he dressed up like a normal.
Yeah.
Human when he was on Earth. This time, fuck it. I'm just wearing the cape and shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, let's get on to my pick thing. So my pick is... Sorry, it's a bit more serious of a pick.
Yeah, I know.
It's a film that I have to kind of say is by Kashiro Otomo, who is the guy behind Akira.
Is it... Yeah.
But it's three short films three in short one. Film. So it's a grindhouse feature type thing.
Is it the same guy doing all three?
No, it's not. Oh. No, I'll explain. So the film I'm referring to, which is actually three short films, is called Memories. The first one's called Magnetic Rose.
Magnetic Rose.
Yeah, Magnetic Rose. The second one's called Stink Bomb. And the third one's called Cannon Fodder. So... I'm just looking this up at the moment as well. So just because my words won't work. Memories, like Magnetic Rose, is about four space travelers that go to an abandoned spaceship, and which contains the world of this woman's memories.
Okay.
And is really kind of bizarre. I'm not going to explain things too much. That's just the premise. Stink Bomb. Which, by the way, so Magnetic Rose, by the way, directed by Koji Morimoto, who did the Animatrix.
Oh, really? Okay.
And
one of them.
It's based on a manga short by Kashiro Otomo. It's based on on this spaceship.
The sci-fi one?
That's the sci-fi one.
Which one?
They're all technically sci-fi.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But that's the more sci-fi one. It's all in space and stuff like that.
Oh, right, okay.
And so the second one, Stink Bomb, which is...
great title.
Is directed by Tensai Okamura. I really apologize for all pronunciation.
You need to learn Japanese.
I know, I really wish I could. Stink Bomb is kind of... It's a comedy. But you remember I mentioned Plague?
Plague.
Yeah, Stink Bomb and Plague are actually quite similar.
Oh.
Because they develop this virus, I guess, which continuously makes a human produce a bad smell.
What?
No, I'm serious.
That's the story?
Yeah, that's the story. And this one guy gets infected. Now, the guy who gets infected is unaffected by the stink.
All right.
Proceeds to make his way to Tokyo, you know, not realizing that he's producing this smell and destroying crops and
really?
Because the smell is so overpowering, it destroys things. Anyway.
Okay. So there's a weird
plot. So that's Stink Bomb. And then the last one is Cannon Fodder, which is by Otomo. And it's Cannon Fodder is my favourite one because basically it's the whole world is based on firing cannons, and it's a day in the life of this family whereby everyone in the family in some way is involved with these cannons, which are fired every day.
For no reason.
It seems like it, because it's never really explained, but fired every day at some unseen enemy. Now, obviously, this really kind of references 1984.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole unknown enemy that's completely, to some extent, made up by the media and stuff like that. It's an Orwellian future. Yeah, it's an Orwellian sort of future type thing. It's done in a sort of kind of comic style as well. It has a very particular look to it, which I like. And like the kid goes off and learns about cannons, and the father's involved in cannons. The whole family is built up.
So is it like a day in the life type of thing?
Or? Yeah, it's a day in the life of a cannon operator, essentially.
Cool.
I won't say much more than that.
Is he gonna spoil it?
Yeah, I'd spoil it too much. But those are the premise of the three. I highly recommend watching them. If you don't like one, skip it and then just watch the next one because they're all about 25 minutes long.
Chances are you'll find one that you like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a really good display of anime. Animation and of three fucking amazing directors as well.
Yeah.
So it's a 1995 film. I think you can pick it up fairly easily.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I've got it here on DVD, so you can pick it up fairly easily.
Cool.
By the way, yeah, so for your one, City Hunter.
Yeah.
Just to know, it's difficult to watch. It's difficult to find, but I believe there are some of it's on YouTube.
I think you can find some.
So we must say, if there is an official release of it, try and support it.
Yeah.
If there isn't, then you know, I'm sure there are online ways of. To watch it.
Even if you have to eBay it, I'm sure you can find some stuff.
Yeah, find something or other. It's hard with these older animes, sort of 80s animes, to find ways to watch it, especially in English.
One way I would recommend trying is maybe because there's a lot of anime in France.
Yeah.
So they sell a lot of anime DVDs, series, entire series.
But
so
it's only in French. It's
but sometimes they've got an English dub
or
subtitle as well.
But if they do, then it's better to go through America.
Is it?
Yeah, if they do, it's better to sort of go that way. It's a bit difficult, obviously, because of region locking in terms of DVDs.
True, America's a bit of a...
Yeah. If you've got a way, though, then go ahead.
Okay, France and Germany both have a lot of anime that they show.
So. They do, but they don't necessarily... Oh,
they dub it.
They dub it poorly in their own languages.
I have a Maison & Cuckoo DVD that I can't change the dub.
Yeah.
It's dubbed in French, which is good for me, but...
me personally, I guess I'm a little bit of a purist in the sense that I always like to listen to it in Japanese, not that I speak Japanese or understand Japanese, but read subtitles.
Yeah. I do
some people, that. I know the criticism of that is that the subtitles can be slightly distracting.
True.
But you can get to a point where you're so used to subtitles that you can watch both at the same time and still understand everything.
It's only certain things that I don't mind the dub, like stuff I used to watch as a kid.
Oh, like Studio the Ghibli. Ghost in the Shell dub is actually quite good.
Yeah. Or even the Studio Ghibli films, I don't mind.
Some of the Studio Ghibli dubs are really good.
You've got, you know, good casts usually.
Yeah. Depends. It really depends on anime to anime age and stuff like that. Like, for example, if you were to get the Blu-ray version of Akira, it has two different English dubs on it.
Oh, that's true.
And one of them's good and one of them's awful. Like, it has the original and a redone one. And the redone one is actually very good.
Oh, okay.
But
in The Cat Returns, you get to hear Tim Curry as the Cat King.
Oh, yeah.
The Cat King.
Yeah.
He talks like that.
It works a bit better with those types of films, though, doesn't it? Rather than ones that are human, you know, based, because you kind of expect human voices.
Yeah,
it's better if it's character based voices. You know?
Although Anne Hathaway is good as that, the main character as well.
Cool.
But we're not going to do the big game this week.
We did questions and we've been going on ranting on for ages.
We've been ranting on for a while.
We don't want to burn your ears.
But we'll try and figure out maybe a big game we can do that's anime-related for next time.
Yeah, we'll try and figure something out.
We'll figure something out. But that's it. It's the end of the show. Now let's move on to the big shout-outs.
Yeah! All right, my shout-outs are going to be a little bit different because they're going to be anime-related.
Anime! Sorry. I shouldn't have said anime.
So my shout-outs are a little bit weird because my shout-out is more of a kind of how I consume anime.
So you can't shout out the cat from Kiki's Delivery Service.
I wish. Or Sakamoto. If my cat would let me put a little red bandana around his neck, I totally would. And anyway. it's sometimes hard to find ways to watch anime. Officially, you can obviously get DVDs, and it depends on your region of whether or not you can get these things. So, of course, try and support the official releases whenever you can. But there are organizations that do things called fan subs. Fan subs are organizations whereby they dub usually unlicensed in your market type animations. There are organizations that do it to Spanish, German, French, English, mainly English. And there are lots of different websites where you can find, you know, fan subs.
Yeah.
Anime Suki is one
Suki.
Yeah, is one website where they list a lot of these fan subs.
Yeah.
Just as a disclaimer, I'm in no way related to these websites, and I am no way sponsored.
Stop advertising these people.
I know it's a bit of advertisement, and there's also Anime Source, which is a good one as well. Now, these websites are in no way very well presented or very well explained.
Yeah.
So maybe start somewhere else. So like start somewhere like a Wikipedia or something like that, where they might explain things a little bit better in terms of the background of some of these animes, or go to IMDb. IMDb actually has some pretty good sections on anime as well. And you can find stuff there, or you can go to forums and stuff like that, just to find recommendations. So, and you can do recommendations based on what you've seen. So if you like Akira, say, oh, I want to see more stuff like Akira online, you might, you know, it might pop up, and then you can look for things that have a fan sub of it, and you can watch anime that way. Because discovery of anime for Westerners like us is very different from from obviously how the Japanese would interact with it, basically because we don't get the marketing. So, but you know, I like that, because if you destroy the marketing of something, you can watch it with fresh eyes. True. And I love watching anime with fresh eyes.
Same here.
It doesn't mean I'm not critical of anime. But I do like the fact that, you know, you can be a bit more fresh of something, because, God, the trailers of films nowadays really kind of jade stuff. So anyway, my shout out is to places like Anime Suke, Anime Source, Anime Encyclopedia. cool. I don't think that's how you say it, but there is an Anime
Encyclopedia. Anime-clopedia.
Yeah, probably.
That sounds like a venereal disease.
Yeah, it does, actually. Anyway, let's move on to
I have Anime-clopedia. and I'm proud to say, I actually, in the same vein as you, I can shout out, there's a website called CuckooCircus.org. You write it C-O-U-C-O-U circus.org. And they've got a huge library of anime stuff, which is mostly audio.
Yeah.
So you can hear classic you know, opening title sequences, songs from anime, and cartoons and TV series from back in the day as well. Yeah. And if you're interested in seeing what the French made of certain opening title sequences, they've got tons of them.
Yeah.
You know, they've got...
Is there a Dragon Ball Z French?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Dragon Ball Z, 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 Z. there's an echo.
There's also an American one. And there's obviously the original Japanese one, which I don't know if you've heard the original Japanese
one. Is it the
Good
stuff.
Anyway,
by the way, you know what City Hunter is called in France?
Shitty Hunter.
It might as well be. No, it's called Nicky Larson.
What's that mean?
That's his name, apparently.
Oh. Why do they do that? They do that a lot, don't they? Where they just take the name of...
They've changed Ryo's flavor.
Have you said this on the podcast? Larson. Remind us, or remind me, of our favorite translation for a film title to France.
Oh, what was it? Was it like No Strings Attached or something?
No, Bosses. Bosses.
Oh, we said it last week.
Yeah. Oh, did we? I was wondering if we'd mentioned it already, but anyway.
I'm going to kill my boss.
Kill your boss.
Anyway,
all right.
But yeah, we'll be back next week with more anime stuff and of course the usual news, etc.
Yeah, thank I'm going to try listening. And have... sorry.
No, I was going to say thank you for listening, but yeah.
I'm going to try and have a slight sort of introductory, you know, guide to series and film of anime. The first ones you should probably try and interact with. So, yes.
So yeah, I mean, you can... I'm going to load loads of reviews, anime reviews, so you can...
Goody.
Go to retrocriticblog.blogspot.com or add the RetroCritic on Twitter.
Yep.
And I'm going to post some stuff on YouTube as well. If you type in Cablo Gula, which is C-A-B-L-O-G-U-L-A, you can find me on YouTube.
Are you doing it on there, not on RetroCritic?
Hmm?
You put it on there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to upload vlogs on the RetroCritic channel as well.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah.
Okay. And Tumblr as well. If you type in Cablo Gula, you'll find some stupid pictures I've put up.
Okay.
Anime related. Thank you again. We'll be back next week.
Thank you always for listening.
Arigatou gozaimasu.